Let us go into the world. Let us go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is utterance. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion as truth of God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive. There's no distraction, no confusion. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you are with the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We've dwelt a lot on this verse in this series, and really, it's not like it's going to stop anytime soon. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Yeah, and that from a child thou hast known would imply, and from when Timothy set out as a saint. Yeah, not when he was born from his biological mother. Yeah, but really when he was born from the spiritual womb. Yeah, the womb of the resurrection, the womb of the spirit. So, and that from when you were created from the womb of the spirit, yeah, what we will call born again. So from when you were a child, thou hadst known the holy scriptures. The word there, holy, is the Greek word that speaks about distinct, sacred, set apart, distinct. Yeah, so thou hast known the set apart sacred scriptures, that is writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we've seen clearly in scriptures that the theme of scriptures is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So scriptures at this time will mean Genesis to Malachi, not Genesis to Revelation. So it means that at this point in time, when Paul was writing this letter, yeah, the book of Timothy was not in existence. So when he would tell Timothy, holy scriptures, it will be Genesis up until Malachi. So he says, thou hast known the holy scriptures. So the scriptures have an ability to give a wisdom or a type of wisdom in reference to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it means that the theme of scriptures is about Christ and what he has to offer. So let me say it this way. The theme of scriptures is about the Savior and what he has to offer, salvation. So the Savior has salvation to offer such that anyone that receives it is saved. I'll say that again. Yeah, the Savior is Jesus Christ. Yeah, what does the Savior have to offer? It is salvation. Yeah, what is salvation really about? It's about coming into God's family and be there insecure forever. Yeah, so as believers, we are not people who are insecure about our reality, but we are in and secured. Yeah, so the believer is not scared about what, you know, his slant will be or what he received upon believing the gospel. In the real sense, what he believed or what he received upon believing is salvation. Are we together? So Paul makes Timothy to know that salvation has been God's plan from time. So salvation is not a new plan. Yeah, salvation is not something that God just woke up one morning and decided to offer. No, salvation has been God's plan. Yeah, so God is the Alpha through Omega, means he knows the end from the beginning. So it means that what Adam did not take God unawares. So ahead of what Adam will do, God already had a plan of salvation. See, for what Adam to do, to take over or to take God unawares, it means that God doesn't really know the end from the beginning. Yeah, but since he sees ahead and knows ahead, yeah, he saw what will happen as or made plans in place, rather, so to say. Yeah, so Paul is telling Timothy that, see, those scriptures you call Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, Isaiah, Joel, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Yeah, they are been writing about God's saving plan. In fact, look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse, let's see 24 quickly. Look at Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. And certain of them, yeah, I'll just give you a few more seconds to get there. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24 to 27. The Bible says, and certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. Yeah, but they saw him not. Then verse 25, Jesus now said unto them, he says, O fools. Yeah, he called them fools because they were not thinking deep. Yeah, you see, when in that, the real meaning of that word fools is when you use it for people, or it's used for people who are not using their minds, who are not thinking deep. So he said unto them, O fools, why did he call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Now, what did Paul tell Timothy? The scriptures are to make you wise concerning salvation. So if Paul tells Timothy, scriptures are to make you wise concerning salvation, it means that when Jesus says that the prophet spoke certain things, it will mean that the prophet spoke about salvation. So he called them fools because they were not reasoning deep. They were not giving themselves to thought or to thinking, so to say. So what did the prophet speak? Yeah, they spoke about salvation. So what you see as written, as the writings of the prophets, yeah, they speak about salvation. God's salvation plan. So see verse 26. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So Jesus was saying that these things that you see, they are not supposed to be new to you if you have believed what the prophet has spoken. Yeah, so I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at that again. So he tried to explain their unbelief, or tried to give them clarity, or tried to make them to stop being fools, which is he tried to make them think a little on what the prophet said. Yeah, where did this start from? 27 says, beginning at Moses. So when you say beginning at Moses, it means beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophets. So it means that if you visit Moses and the prophets, you will see Christ is suffering and to enter into his glory. Yeah, what did Paul say to Timothy? Yeah, he says, scriptures are to make you wise concerning salvation. So a good way Timothy can, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 can be written is, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise concerning Christ and his suffering and the glory that is to follow. Are we together? So look at, verse 21. Luke 24 verse 21. Luke 24, verse 21. See something very important. See what it says there. But we are trusted, right, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So at this time, there was an imposter in power. So they thought that Jesus was coming to save them from the hands of the imposter. So where did they get that knowledge from? They most likely got it from scriptures, but they did not reason deep concerning what scriptures were speaking about. Yeah, so, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were written. So they were concerned, oh, this is the guy that will bring salvation. This is the guy that will save us, yeah, from that tyrant, yeah, from that imposter. Yeah, but Jesus says what? Fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken regarding salvation. So what did Jesus do? Beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophets. Are we together? So it means that a good way to know you've read scriptures properly, that is Genesis to Malachi, would be that you will see God's plan for salvation. Hallelujah. Look at John's gospel. John 5. Look at John 5. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 46, quickly. John chapter 5, verse 46. So what it says there, it says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So what is Jesus saying? Don't read Moses' writings carelessly. Moses was writing about a person, yet using several stories. Yeah, what did Jesus say? If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So it means that we need to reinvestigate Moses' writing. How would Jesus say Moses wrote about him, when in the entire Genesis to Deuteronomy, Moses' writings, he didn't mention the name Jesus? Are we together? So a good Bible student must be one. In fact, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at what Paul says to the same Timothy. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Yeah, the word there, study, speaks about being diligent. Yeah, so give thy due diligence to show thyself as one who is approved of God. He says, a workman, that word there, workman, is a laborer, a toiler. Yeah, a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, the rightly dividing speaks about handling scriptures carefully. So, it means that when you handle scriptures carefully, you will see God's plan of salvation. So, in between Adam's story, Cain's story, Abraham's story, Noah's story, Joseph's story, yeah, Moses had a plan, or Moses was writing about a person. Jesus told us that. So, a good student is one who will be diligent in the study of Genesis to Malachi. Remember, when Paul would tell Timothy, study to show thyself approved, he wasn't talking about the book of Timothy. You should never forget that. So, he says, study to show thyself approved. It means that what the study material that Timothy has or had will be Genesis to Malachi. So, today, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, you know, the writings of Paul, Peter, and all of that. Yeah, but in the real sense, they are speaking no other thing than that which the prophets did say should come to pass. Look at the book of Acts, quickly. Look at the book of Acts, quickly. Look at the book of Acts. Acts by Luke. Look at Acts chapter 26, rather. Look at 26, quickly. Acts 26. Yeah. So look at Acts chapter 26, verse 22. See what Paul says. So look at what Paul says. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Look at what it says. They say should come, verse 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Yeah, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So if this is Paul talking, it means that in the writings of Paul, he said no other thing than Christ crucified and him glorified. Yeah, so Paul in his writings did not say anything different from what Moses and the prophets said should come to pass. So, when you read Romans, when you read Ephesians, when you read Colossians, when you read Galatians, yeah, when you read the writings of Paul, yeah, he is not saying anything different from what Moses and the prophet says should come to pass. What is the subject matter? Christ, his sufferings, and the glory that should follow. So, it means that in reading the writings of Paul, we must go back to his study materials. Yeah, we must go back to where Paul was teaching from or where Paul taught from. Yeah, and critically study. Because the same Paul tells Timothy, say, study that material in your hand. Yeah, study them. Yeah, be like a laborer, not a lackadaisical believer. Not one who, you know, just say, no, you see, I'm just saved and that's just, you know, no. So he says, be diligent. Be diligent. So we are examining Moses in this first part of this series. And we're trying to see, how did Moses write? We've looked at his forms of writing using codified languages, using lots of figures of speech. You know, we've looked at the way Moses wrote carefully. So we're now investigating Moses thoroughly. Yeah, we've tried to establish Moses' use of the word garden and Eden. And we explained that when Moses said garden of Eden, he was speaking of an enclosed place, yeah, which is described as a place of pleasure, delight, or luxury. So, we establish that it is Moses' teaching that God gave Adam a special place to dress and to keep it. Yeah, on Sunday, we will look at what the dressing and the keeping implies. Or implied, so to say. Yeah? So, Sunday's going to be a beautiful time, right? See, but today, we're going to reinvestigate certain things about the truth that Moses, or certain truths that Moses wrote in Genesis. So, go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 8. See what Moses says very carefully. Look at what our brother Moses, look at what our minister Moses wrote. See Moses, Genesis chapter 2, Look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow trees that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. He now says, tree of life in the midst of the garden, and tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Yeah? And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, right, and put him in the garden of Eden. To do what? To dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded, saying, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. Yeah, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God tells them to eat freely of a tree. And God tells them not to eat of a tree. Yeah, and the tree that when they are not to eat from, the day they eat, they will surely what? Die. Are we together? Yeah. We established from Mark 7 that Jesus also taught his disciples, saying, are you also without sense? Don't you know that whatever goes into your mouth doesn't defile you, because it doesn't go into your heart, but to your stomach and to the toilet? So it means that what defiled Adam was not something he ate that passed through his lips to his tongue and teeth and chewed. No. Jesus says that. Yeah. So he says, anybody that thinks that way, yeah, let me not say what Jesus said, but we know what he said. Right? So if you say that it was a fruit, physical fruit that Adam ate, it means you've not understood scriptures as you ought to. Yeah, there is no tree called tree of life. Yeah, God did not plant tree of apple, tree of mango, tree of orange, and I said this tree is tree of life. You see, you don't touch it. Yeah, and it will not have green leaves or purple leaves or red leaves, as the case may be. Yeah, so you know, a lot of people still believe that it was the apple, Yeah, it was part of the apple. It was an apple, really, that Adam ate that defiled him. Yeah, but we've seen clearly that what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil can never be literal. Yeah, the tree of life can never be literal. So it will mean that it will be in reference to a knowledge and information. Yeah, you might want to lay your hands on past teachings. Yeah, so what will happen when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Thou shalt surely die. Are we together? Yeah, look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. What he should not be alone? It means that it is not good that man should be without help. And we establish that a helpmeet there is not about your girlfriend. Yeah, it's not about your fiancé or the wife you marry. Yeah, it's Moses' way of communicating God's remedy, God's redemption plan, God's salvation plan. Are we together? Yeah, and we establish that the rib of the rib is about the church taken out of Christ upon the resurrection. Now look at Genesis 3. You know, I'm just doing a recap of what we've taught. You might want to lay your hands on previous teachings if things are not clear or clear enough. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Yeah, now look at what it says. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one, yeah, to know good and evil. Yeah, so, and now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That's it. There was never a fruit, and there will never be a literal fruit that when you eat, you will live forever. The only thing that when a man eats, he will live forever is the bread of life. And we established that the bread of life is the fruit from the tree of life. Are we together? Yeah, the bread of life is the fruit from the tree of life. So that's literally figurative. So I'm speaking in figurative terms. Yeah, so what was Adam to eat? Yeah, or what are we eating right now? We've eaten the bread of life, John 6, which is the fruit. Yeah, because John will tell you, Jesus says what? That he that eats of me, I am the bread of life, the bread of heaven. He that eats of me shall live forever. Yeah, he that eats of me shall live forever. So the same thing that you eat today is the same thing that was in that garden that was to be eaten for man to live forever. So the tree of life is equal to the bread of life. So the tree of life is about a person that is the person of Jesus, who offers salvation to mankind. Are we together? So now look at verse 23 carefully. 23 carefully. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. Let's pay attention to that carefully. Remember, eating of the tree of life is Right, let me say it this way. Eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what did God say will happen? Thou shalt surely die. Yeah, so thou shalt surely die simply implies that the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden. So it's not that when you eat, thou shalt surely die, then I will send you away. No, sending away is equal to eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is what produces surely die. We're going to investigate that properly today. So, therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. So, look at verse 24. So, he drove out the man. What did he drive out the man from? He drove out the man from the Garden of Eden, which was given to the man to dress and to keep. All together. I'll say it again. Man was given the responsibility to dress and keep the garden. So it means that Moses, using the word dress and keep, you must not see Adam or mankind or Adam, so to say, as a farmer or a horticulturist or someone who is trying to keep the flowers in the garden. No. Moses' use of garden is not speaking about the who is in the garden, a little fine girl. Can I come and see ya? No. This Garden of Eden speaks about an enclosed place of pleasure, luxury, or delight, which speaks about a special place God gave to man. So what did God do to man? God sent man out of the garden. In verse 24, he told you what? He drove out man. So God sending out man from the garden is equal to God driving out man from the garden, which is equal to thou shalt surely die. Right? Now look at Abel, the direct offspring according to Moses from Adam and Eve. Look at Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Verse 2. And again she conceived and bare his brother Abel. What was Abel doing? Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Yeah, so verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering, and Abel brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. That is, God had no respect for that. So you must not begin to think that God accepts, you know, firstlings or flock over fruits. No. Moment you begin to think that way, you are losing track of what Paul was teaching, or rather what Moses was teaching. Yeah? We'll look at that in days to come. Yeah. So Abel brought the firstling of his flock, but Cain brought fruits. Yeah. What now happened? The Bible tells you that what Abel's own was accepted. How together? So look at what now happened in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Let me ask you a question. Who was Moses writing Genesis to? Never forget, Moses wasn't writing Genesis to you. He was writing Genesis to the audience in Exodus. Yeah? I'll say that again. Moses wasn't writing Genesis to you. He was writing Genesis to the audience of Exodus. In the real sense, you know, Paul will tell you, you know, whatsoever was written aforetime, they were written for us to learn from. Are we together? So Moses was writing to the Israelites in the book of Exodus, so to say, yeah, but we are going to learn from the writings. So Moses knew why he was writing the way he wrote. Remember, we've established that Moses was well skilled in the wisdom of the Egyptians. So, most likely, Moses had access to the best education because he was under Pharaoh's daughter. Are we together? So, you can say the best hands in Egypt would have been the people that trained Moses. So, Moses now gives us a narrative of Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel. Look at verse 11. Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Are we together? Now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. Did the ground open so that Abel's blood will enter? That is not what Moses is saying, figurative. Right? Now, look at what he now says in verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Remember, So it means that in Adam's time, Adam did something and was driven out of the garden. In Cain's time, Cain did something and was driven out of the face of the earth. So to be driven out of the face of the earth in Cain's story is the same thing as to be driven out of the Garden of Eden in Adam's story. So look at what Adam says again. And from thy face shall I be hid. Are we together? Yeah. So you can see that the parents of Cain, yeah, did not obey, or they did something, right? And in doing something, they were regarded as what? Surely die. Or we see that repercussion is surely die. And by extension, what would that be? To drive them out of the garden, right? So what does that mean? It means that Adam, right, did not associate himself with God's message. Yeah, in the real sense, that was what brought what? They surely died, which is what? Separation. So, Adam in Genesis 3, look at Genesis 3 quickly. Go back to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. So, Moses tells you, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Dear saints, voice doesn't have an ability to walk, so it's figure of speech. Yeah, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. We've established in this series that God's voice will carry his message. So it will mean that there was a message that was what? That was actually heard. What did Adam do? Look at, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the face of the Lord. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the face of the Lord. Look at that again. And the voice of the Lord was walking in the garden. Yeah, the voice of the Lord was walking in the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, we see that in the real sense, when we look at Cain's story, he says what? Thou art cursed from the earth. I want to show you something quickly. Look at Genesis 4, verse 14. Look at Genesis 4, verse 14. Behold, thou art driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Now, that word there, face, is the Hebrew word panim. I'll spell it for you. P-A-N-I-Y-N. You see, thou art driven me out this day from the face of the earth. The face of the earth, the word the earth face, is the word there, panim. That is the same word in Genesis 3 verse 8, when it says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So, a real way to read that would be Adam and his wife hid themselves from the face of the Lord. So, a real way to read Genesis 4:14 would be that, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. So, thou art driven me out this day from the presence of the earth. In the real sense, he's speaking about the same thing. Look at this. And from thy face, yeah, that word their face is panim. The word their face is presence. So, and from thy presence shall I be hid. Are we together? So, for Adam, there was a hiding from God's face, which is God's presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so when you see the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, and Adam hid himself. He hid himself, right? And look at what Cain too also did. Cain said what? Thou art driven me out this day. So what did verse 11 of Genesis 4 say? Thou art cursed from the earth. In the real sense, thou art cursed from the face of the Lord. Yeah, thou art cursed from the presence of the Lord. And we said the word here, cursed, on Sunday means to be without. Yeah, the Hebrew word around, to be away from or not to be found in. Are we together? Yeah? Not to be found in. Not to be found in. Now, let me try and tie the knot concerning this conversation between Adam and Cain in the last few teachings, or last teachings, let's say. So, we can deduce that from Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, actions were done. That's a basic fact you must never forget. Some actions were done. Now, these actions gave birth to repercussions. All together. So, for Cain, his action implied that he will be driven out of the face of the Lord. For Adam, his action implied that he would be driven out of the garden of the Lord. Yeah, the garden of the Lord, the face of the earth, will be Moses' way of teaching the same truth. Now remember, what happened to Adam? Adam said, God did not, Moses told you that for Adam, when you do this, thou shalt be cursed. For Cain, thou art cursed. What does it mean to be cursed? Arar, to be away from. So it means that the curse of Adam was not about material things at all. Are we together? Because if Cain was cursed, right? And Cain, right? Still became, so to say, wealthy. In the real sense, it will mean that what? The curse that came was not about what? Material poverty. But spiritual poverty. What would that mean? It will mean not to be found in or to be away from. Let me show you something in verse 17 quickly. Look at verse 16. You know, we said it over and over. So people believe that what Adam did brought poverty to mankind. Dear said, let me show you that is not true. That's a false teaching. Yeah, it's not true at all. You know, it doesn't even... Yeah, look at verse 16. Genesis 4, 16. And Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. You see, he now finally brings the word presence. What he has been calling face of the earth, face of the earth, face of the earth. So the same word presence is the same word Hebrew word face in verse 14. Are we together? So, and Cain went out of the face of the Lord, in the real sense, presence of the Lord. In the real sense, the what? The special place, or what? The Garden of Eden. But see what happens in verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That, what does it mean to go out of the presence of the Lord? It means that Cain was cursed. See what now happened. Moses tells you that, and he dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Please, don't lose what I'm about to say. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived. Who was the wife that Cain married? Obviously a woman. Yeah? So, but Moses doesn't tell you the other people that existed. See, for Cain to be able to marry a woman, it means that that woman must have been born almost at the time of Cain and has grown to maturity to be marriable. Are we together? Maybe not the time of Cain, but the woman was still marriable. She wasn't 2 years. Are we together? So, look at what it now says. Cain knew his wife, just the same way Adam knew his wife, and they conceived. Right? And she conceived. Look at what now happens. And bore Enoch. Now, careful, this is what I'm going to say next. And he builded a city. Yeah? If you are not sure who builded the city, look at the next line. And called the name of the city after the name of the son, Enoch. For Cain to be able to build, let me say it this way. For Cain to be able to build a city, he wasn't poor. It's so interesting to think that what man did brought poverty upon mankind. It doesn't make any logical sense. The same thing, like I said on Sunday, when Adam did what he did all the plants and all the things he had access to, did they stop being his? He was still in control of them. He could kill any animal as he wanted, eat any food as he wanted. Look at Cain. Cain built a city and called the name of the city after the name of the son, Enoch. That's not a poor man. So, to say Adam became poor and Christ now came to redeem us from poverty is a very not well diligent way to look at scriptures. Selah, that aside. So, Moses taught Garden of Eden with Adam's story, and he taught the same truth in chapter 4 as the face of the earth, which is what? The presence of God. So, Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden. Yeah? What does that mean? It means that he was driven away from the face of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Cain or any of them that were driven out of the garden, did they go extinct? No. So, when they say, Bible says Cain was driven out of the earth, yeah, the lame man speaking means that he went to Mars or went to Venus. But dear saint, that is not the case. Yeah, that is not the case at all. So it means that the face of the earth will speak of a figurative fact about what God had given to mankind. So Cain still had enough. Why do you think he had enough? Because everything on earth were in the hands of limited men. Why is poverty in the land today? It's because we have everything that is for everybody in the hands of few men. Simple. Yeah, God has nothing to do with poverty. And let me say this carefully. God has nothing to do with the distribution of riches amongst men. I'll say that again. God has nothing to do with the distribution of wealth amongst men. Else is a partial God. Go to Matthew 5. The people that are handling the wealth of this money or the wealth of this world, they are not believers like you and I. Yeah, let's leave all this false poverty false prosperity we are talking about amongst ourselves as pastors. Let's leave all this insincere way of viewing God's word. Yeah, God has nothing in the distribution of wealth amongst men. It is the wickedness in the hearts of men that makes the distribution of wealth the way it is. Look at Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5, verse 43. I'll say it again. God has nothing to do with the distribution of wealth and the poverty amidst men. Nothing at all. Look at verse 43. You have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. Where is Jesus teaching from? The writings of Moses. What did he say? I say unto you, love your enemies. Speak well of them that curse you. That is, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. For he maketh his son. Everything God has, he giveth to mankind equally. He says, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He allows his rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at it. He says, if you love them which love you only, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do same? If you salute only your brethren, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? That's why it tells you in verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So God is perfect in the distribution of things material. How did God distribute to mankind? He made it available on earth. The wickedness in the heart of men is what makes men hoard materials and keep to themselves. Let me give you an example. For instance, yeah, a group of men were to distribute palliatives last year. A group of other men, yeah, found out where the palliatives were, and they hoard and picked from a lot of the palliatives and carried bags of indomies and rice to their houses. Yeah, that man who walked into that palliative room upon discovery, and the man who is in the room, they are one and the same heart. Yeah, they might be believers, but believers with a renewed mind. Because when it comes to the perfection of God, he sees that things are given or distributed equally. So, we have an example to follow. What is the example? The perfection of God. Look at it. At this time in verse 17, Genesis 4 verse 17, yeah, when Cain still built a city. Let me ask you, see, let's assume Cain became poor. Yeah, poverty now begins to. Yeah, I like Cain's poverty. Let me tell you. Me, I want to have Cain's poverty. Say that. I want to have Cain's poverty to be able to build a city. I love that poverty. You see, it doesn't make any sense. So, mankind, in their renewed mind, they have the ability to be wicked and amass things only for themselves, to themselves and their family. They and theirs. When it comes to the believer, he learns perfection the way God gives equally. Let me say one more time. Yeah? God has nothing to do with the distribution of wealth amongst men on earth. Selah. So, what happened to Cain? Cain was driven out of the face of the earth. What does that really mean? It means that there was a separation between him and the presence of God. Are we together? So, there was a divorce. There was a separation. Now, the question is, let me say this. Eden, Garden of Eden, face of the earth, thy face, they were all phrases used to explain what? The presence of God. By who? Moses to his audience. Who was Moses' audience? The Exodus troop. Are we together? So, in Cain and Abel's time, yet he explained it as face of the earth. In Adam and Eve, he explained it as what? Garden of Eden. So God from time had a plan, an ideal plan for man. Yeah, which is what we'll look at when we look at the image of God. Right? In the image of God, God's ideal plan was for mankind to be in pair. That is what? Male and female created he them. Are we together? Yeah, not one. So females, the female gender is not an afterthought of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Adam was disobedient, and his disobedience brought the surely die. What does surely die mean? It means he was away, he was cursed. It means he was away, arah. He was away to be without. So he was away from the presence. He was away from the garden. That is, he was away from the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, so if Genesis 4 verse 14 tells you that he was driven out of the face of the earth, in which planet did he now build the city in verse 17? Do you understand? It's a figure of speech. So what happened? What Adam did, right? What mankind did caused separation. And mankind now needed what? Redemption and what? Salvation. But guess what? God knew ahead of time. So salvation has been God's plan, God's message from time. Look at Exodus 2. Look at Ephesians 2 rather. Forgive me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Because it says, and ye hath he quickened who were dead, where? In trespasses and sins. He didn't say who were dead in Adam. Are we together? He says, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He didn't say who were dead in Adam. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Look at it again. And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now walketh in the children of disobedience. So it means that or in that position, or where the walking was done before, was according to the course of this world. Among whom also we all had our conversation. The word conversation will deal with conduct. How do we know? Conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and what? Of the mind. And of the mind. Hallelujah. So, dead in trespasses will be dead in sins from verse 1. What is dead in trespasses and dead in sins? It is walking according to the course of this world in verse 2. So, when he now says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So, fulfilling desire of the flesh, I mean of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. What has he been describing? He has been describing the same thing. Dead in trespasses and sins from verse 1. Yeah, so he says, look at verse 2 again. We walked according to the course of this world. What does that mean? It means we followed the pattern of this world. Altogether, look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation. So it means that in our interaction with the children of disobedience, yeah, that walking is possibly found. So the course of this world will be what? The conversation or the interactions of humans amongst humans, yeah, who are fulfilling what? Yeah, the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 1 again. And ye hath he quickened. So what will be to quicken? To quicken means to come alive. In the real sense, you know, you would see that the word quickened in verse 1, you know, is in italics. Yeah, but if you look at verse 5, see what it says in verse 4. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Can you see? We were dead in trespasses and sin from verse 1. In verse 5, what happens? Even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us. To quicken means to enliven or to enliven or to come alive. So what will be flesh in verse 3, the lust of our flesh will be that which is not quickened. Yeah? Or that which is without the spirit or without what? The life. All together. Yeah? So look at it again. Look at verse 3. Amongst whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, that is in the interactions. Yeah, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, that is of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Yes, but so by nature there, we imply something developed amongst other interaction, or something developed whilst having interaction with others. Did you get that? So that again, yeah, that nature there is not something born with. Yeah, it is something that is to be worked or that is worked in. So if you look at verse 2, wherein in time past he worked according to the course of this world. A good way to read that he worked is you regulated your life by. So look at it. Please follow attentively, right? Yeah, you regulated your life according to. Now, according to will mean alongside. So, look at it again. Wherein in time past, ye regulated your life or your lifestyle according to the what? That which is found in the children of disobedience. Or according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So, what would that speak about? You speak about unbelief. Yeah, so, look at it. Verse 4. He now says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he had what? Enlivened us. He has given us life. He has quickened us together with Christ. So, amongst whom also we speak about our mingling, our interaction, yeah, our conversation, our conduct. So, mankind is exposed to the what? Spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience. So, that's why Romans 5. Look at Romans 5 quickly. Romans 5:19. So, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. What does that mean? It means that Adam set a lifestyle, or Adam set a pattern for the world, and other men followed suit. We'll look at this in days to come. Altogether, yeah, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Right? Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. So there was a walking according, there was a regulation of our life according to the course of this world. Yeah, according to the prince of the power of the air. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in what? Sins. If you read from verse 1, you can add in sins and trespasses, right? Because he told us in verse 1, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heaven in Christ, that in the age to come he might show the rewarding, he might show the exceeding riches, rather, of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a what? A gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. What does that mean? It means we are the ribs taken out of the resurrection of Christ. Yeah? The bride, the woman, the church. Are we together? Yeah? We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there is a kind of work that is produced upon working according to the course of this world, and there's a kind of works created that is produced by what? Being a workmanship, or being God's, you know that word, the workmanship, like is the word poema. Yeah. So there's a course based on interaction. So, but there is something that is expected from us. That's why it tells you, look, remember, in verse 2, wherein in time past he worked according. In verse 10, he now tells you where his workmanship created that we should walk in. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without what? Christ. Hallelujah. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, Israel in scriptures, yeah, will speak about what? The Israel of God. All together. Yeah, go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22. So, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Israel, or what you call Jerusalem. So, that is to an innumerable company of what? Angels, ministers. That is to the general assembly. I mean, they call, the word their church is ecclesia, or called out, or the church of the firstborn. Yeah, look at that again. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, that is the city of the living God, that is the heavenly Israel. So it means that when you see Jerusalem, when you see Israel, yeah, in scriptures, it's not that God has a unique love for those people. Not at all. It is a biblical mode of communication speaking about God's people. Let me show you something. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4, quickly. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Look at what Paul says. He says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by promise. Carefully look at verse 24. Which things are an allegory? What's an allegory? An allegory is a story that points to another story. So the story of Abraham having two children is a story that points or teaches about two covenants. Look how it tells you. These things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. So in reading Isaac and what? Ishmael. Your mind must not end there. Your mind must see that Moses was writing about two covenants. He now tells you, one from Mount Sinai, which generates to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Yeah, so that Arabia, that Jerusalem in verse 25, speaks about literal Arabia, literal Jerusalem. Look at it again. For this Agar is a Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage. So the real Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem is in bondage with her children. Look how it now tells you in verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Are we together? There is a Jerusalem that is on the map, and there's a Jerusalem that is the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the heavenly Israel. Yeah, that one. It says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Yeah, what does mother of all us all mean? It means the womb upon which the believer is born. Yeah, we are born from the womb, which is the womb that has to do with God's Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. All together, he tells you that Arabia, Jerusalem, and the people, they are all so Israel. If you are from Israel and believe that because you are from Abraham's lineage, yeah, you are saved. You know, that's why it's interesting when you hear people say that, oh, Israelites are rich, and you see, the Jewish people are rich because they are connected to Israel. I was talking with someone recently, a few years back, you know, and the person was talking about how, you know, I asked the question, why are Islam or Muslim nations rich? He said, you know why? Because they are gotten from the heritage of Ishmael. And Ishmael, either way, was connected to the covenant of Abraham. And that covenant of wealth still works for them. And I said, look at it. And Muslim nations are richer than Christian nations. Eh? So, those ones said that even the bondwoman nation, they are richer than we that are the direct child, children of promise. So, when you think that because it's connected to Israel, there's something unique to God, no. It is a biblical way to teach about God's heavenly people, which is what? The city of the living God. Go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Yeah, the word there, being aliens, speak about, you know, being alienated. Please, it will make sense shortly. I'll say that word again. Hebrews chapter 2, yeah, verse 12. Yeah, the word there being alien, it means to be alienated or to be estranged or to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. Dear saint, do you suppose that this would be a teaching with allusions to Garden of Eden and face of the earth? Keep reading, okay? Yeah, so that at that time you were without Christ. Yeah, that is being without the tree of life, that is being alienated from the presence of the garden, right? Strangers from the covenant. Strangers from the covenant. Strangers from the covenant of promise. Having no hope and without God in this world, but now in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had breaking down the middle wall of partition. Look at that again. Yeah, he is our peace. Yeah, he is our peace. He is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down. Yeah, broken down. Had broken down. Yeah, the word they've broken down speaks to dissolve, to break up or to dismiss or to overthrow or to do away with. So he has broken down, yeah, the middle wall. Yeah, that middle wall speaks about the partition. Yeah, the middle wall of what? Partition. So the word partition speaks about a fence or that which separates or prevents two from coming together. So there was a partition in Cain's and in Adam's story, in Cain's story. What was the partition? The partition of them being driven out of the garden. The partition of them being driven out on the face of the earth. But what has Christ done? We that were sometimes far off, we that walked according to the course of this world, being dead in trespasses and sins, right? He has broken down that middle wall of partition by his blood. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Yeah, he has abolished in his flesh the enmity. Yeah, he has abolished in the flesh the enmity. Yeah, he has abolished in the flesh that which causes enmity or that which causes separation. Yeah, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, he says, for to make in himself a twine one new man. So the goal was to bring a kinious man, yeah, a kinious species, yeah, that word they knew, same word as used as new tongues, yeah, to bring a new man, making peace. Look at verse 16, and that he might reconcile, yeah, to bring back again or to bring back a former state of harmony. Glory to God. So there was a walking in the course of this world, yeah, which now caused a wall of partition. But that wall of partition has been taken care of, has been broken down by the blood of Christ. Now he has made for himself in himself a twine of one new man, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Are we together? Having slain the enmity thereby, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off. So it means that the work of salvation on the cross of Jesus was to show that God was never angry. Ah, please think on that very well. Please think on that very well. Please, please, I beg you, think of that very well. Now answer the question. I asked the question in our last week's teaching. Where was the separation? Where was the separation? Look at what happened in verse 17. And he came and preached peace unto you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Hallelujah. So we have access right now back to that presence. Yeah. So we are now carriers of that presence. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow what? Citizens. Fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. See, the word there, fellow citizens, speaks about possessing the same citizenship with others. Are we together? Yeah. I'll say it again. Fellow citizens speaks about possessing the same citizenship with others. In other words, we are fellow citizens with the saints. Are we together? I mean, that's what they earned. I mean, of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So it is the message of God's peace. So look at it. God was on one side, mankind was on one side. God now came by himself to come and relate with man so that he will preach his message of peace, to know that he was angry. Remember, for God to be angry, it means that what Adam did took God unawares. Yeah, but if God knows the end from the beginning, it means that what Adam did not cause God to be angry. Rather, before Adam did what he did, God in his love already had a plan. Are we together? So, the thou shall surely die, since they receive a knowledge that brought about the surely death or surely die, it will mean that the separation will be something that only God will try to offer to the minds of men. That's why we are loud on the gospel. Because it's the gospel that changes a man from inside out. Yeah, works will only change a man from outside, but the inside is still rotting. But the gospel gives man a new life. Yeah, gives man a new life. Makes man fellow citizens with other saints. Hallelujah. So look at verse 22. In whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through his spirit. Look at verse 41. So this is why you see Paul. He spoke about the reality of the believer in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. He now goes to chapter 6. He says, praying always in the spirit. Yeah, that's why, you see, first of all, in chapter 1, he says that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. See, God has done so much in his work of salvation that we are told to pray to be able to understand it. You see, we're going to dwell a lot on that on Friday. Yeah, let me say it again. God has done so much in his redemptive plan, in his work of salvation, that we are told explicitly to pray for us to have complete understanding. And we have still been praying, yet we are still growing. That's what Peter will say, grow in grace, which is in the knowledge. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of dispensation of the grace of God which is given me unto you, what, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Yeah, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, remember, Paul told us in Acts 26, 22. So when you see mystery of Christ, yeah, it's not far-fetched. It's simply what Moses and the prophets did say should come to pass. Acts 26, 22. Saying no other. Are we together? So look outside. Which in other ages was not made known. Can you see? He wasn't made clear to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. So what brings us to be in unity, to be partakers of that which, you know, would have been walking or being dead in trespasses, is the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That is true riches. Yeah? And to make all men see what is the fellowship. How together? Yeah? The unsearchable riches, that is the fellowship. The unsearchable riches, that is the fellowship. 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 Yeah, that is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavens, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Yeah. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Look out in that sense, verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, doing what? Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Yeah, the whole family will be the family of the church, the family of the union between God and man in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, so when it says the whole family of heaven, it's not saying, you know, the Mama Lao family. No. Verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, yeah, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, What is verse 17 saying? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to what? Comprehend. All together. So the peace that God has come to preach to mankind, Paul says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints his peace. Yeah, what he calls what? The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. And to know the love, that is to know the love. Yeah, and to know rather the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Yeah, which passeth knowledge. Yeah, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. Yeah, unto him be glory, verse 21, in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world and without men. He now says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Are we together? Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God that is Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every man or every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivities captive and gave gifts unto men. How together? So we have gifts, yeah, ministry gifts, yeah, unto men, or as men, unto men, yeah. Look at it now, says verse 11. He gave certainly apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors that are teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints, for the what? Work of ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. I mean, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Verse 14, what is the goal? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningly craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth found in love, not tone, right? May grow up. Yeah, it's not the tone that makes you grow. It's the truth that is found in love that produces growth. Yeah, you know, a lot of people use this scripture. Oh, when you are speaking God's word, you know, preach the truth in love. Yeah, that's good to say, but don't use Ephesians 4:15. Yeah, speaking the truth found in love is what he's talking about. Remember, he has told you that you might be able to comprehend. He now told you we have ministry gifts for the work of ministry, or for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. So the work of ministry entails speaking the truth found in the love that we are comprehending. Yeah, so that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, where? In love. Look at verse 17, where I'm going to. That I say, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How? In the vanity of their minds. Are we together? In the vanity of their minds. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. Yeah, this is Genesis. Darkness was upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. What is God's light? God's love. What is God's love? God's message. What is his message? The voice carries his message, which is the gospel. So, having the understanding darkened. So, when it says vanity of mind, it really means the understanding darkened. Yeah? Being alienated from the garden of God, or you call the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But verse 20, ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. What is that conversation found? According to the walking of the course of this world. What did he tell you in verse 22? Which is correct, or corrupt rather, according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When the reason is renewed in your mind. And that ye put on the what? New man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that salvation has been God's plan from time. Adam began to walk in a certain way that created a pattern in which mankind now followed. Are we together? Which brought the repercussion of surely die. But yet, God, who is Alpha through Omega, knew ahead of time and had a plan of salvation. God said, let there be light. So, salvation has been God's plan, yes, to, and now, in the gospel, we see God's plan from time being presented in words. A man who believes it becomes what? Saved. Altogether. Yeah, he's cleaving. He's saved and saved forever. That's why Paul will now tell you in Romans 8. He says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35. Yeah? He says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, famine, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword. He says, it is written for thy sake, we are killed all day long. Yeah? 27 now says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, high death, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the Garden of Eden. Yeah, Jesus has now been the one to bring us into the garden. We are in, secured. The gate is locked. It's padlocked. The key has been thrown away. Yeah, that's what it means. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Where is it found? It's found in the Christ Jesus, our Lord. Are we together? So, as saints, we are insecure. We are in Christ fully secured. We are secured about our reality. We are secured about the love. We are secured about the love we have received. And we are sure that there is no, we have escaped eternal damnation. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been able to learn something important in today's teaching. Until I come again your way again, Jesus remains glorified. Keep preaching the gospel. It's you and I to the ends of the world. I love you all. Cheers.